Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about why your body is not your adversary. One of the things that tends to happen at this time of year particularly is you start seeing all of those charts of if you ate this, then this is how long you would have to run to somehow equalize that. And if at all, avoid that as much as possible. Don't share that. Don't be a part of that. Don't be that person, because running is not punishment for eating. It is not a punishment for Christmas lunch with your family. It is not a punishment for the date night that you enjoyed. It's not a punishment for the party you went to. It has no place in that arena. And probably the worst part of it is it sets up this kind of that you are in some way at war with your body. Like it has betrayed you in some way by the amount of food that you've eaten, or by the injury that you've had, or any number of things that sets you up in this dynamic where you're in opposition to your body and not in partnership. And I was thinking about that this week because I was having a chat to someone in Learn to Run, and it reminded me of how I felt when I was starting. And I used to see, at that stage, I was predominantly running on the treadmill in the 24-hour gym, and I would see all of these people who were roughly half my size and think, oh, it must be so easy for them. You know, they're not carrying 40 extra kilos. You know, this would be so much easier if I was just lighter. And it's super easy to slip into that, especially when your body is something that, like, after having had two babies and being really awful at eating well or managing any kind of movement at all in my pregnancies. And I think just some of it's just genetic, is that I think it was just hardwired to put on that amount of weight. I had very small babies, so it certainly wasn't the babies. And even though I went into the second pregnancy with the best of intentions of it not happening again, it's exactly what did happen. And, you know, at the end you get a baby, so, you know, like, what do you care really? But it's easy to slip into that if your body looks a way that maybe you don't recognize or looks different from people around you, and to see it as this great pitfall, or a sense of, might even be a sense of shame associated with it just from all of the external sort of pressures of, like, oh, you've let yourself go, whatever. I don't even know what that means, but it's out there and you can internalize it. If you step back from that pure emotional place, you're like, oh, you know, I've just created a human, and, you know, I've had no sleep in about 5 years, and, you know, like, whatever you got to get from, like, to point from point A to point B to, for that to happen is A-okay. But it's easy to look at that person in the mirror that you don't necessarily recognize and perceive your body as having let you down in some way, and to think that things would be so much easier if it was different, or you were different, or you were a different kind of person, or if you were like one of those people who just, like, didn't gain any weight at all during pregnancy and your body just, like, snapped back, which mine definitely didn't. But by the same token, that was, it should not have been a shock to me, because I've always been like that. You know, like, I've always, it's very easy for me to put on weight, and that's what happened when I was at university and eating crappy food and, you know, not moving as much, and, you know, so I just, my body just has that pattern. So it's not necessarily anything to do with children, it was just that that was what my current situation was at the time when I started running. But what I learned through the process was that my body wasn't holding me back, it was standing me up. And what I had to do as a runner who was carrying a lot of extra weight created all of this strength and all of this resilience and all of this persistence and all of this mental fortitude that might not have come my way if I'd come into it from a different situation. And I think that there are so many positives that I got out of it that now I don't think I would go back and change it even if I could. I learned that even when I'd abused my body through cigarettes and neglected it through, you know, like yummy food, but food with no nutritional value whatsoever, and done absolutely, well, not nothing, but very limited moving, and still it was willing to show up and go, yep, we can do hill sprints pushing a toddler up the hill while they insist that we talk to them the entire time. And we'll do that, and it'll be hard, but it'll get done. I learned that even when that body was tired, it was still willing to give it a go on the day. And I learned that that overweight body that I would at periods of time in the beginning resent or feel like it was a betrayal or like get into this sort of adversarial type of relationship with, I learned that it was perfectly capable of running several half marathons and there was really no limit to what it could do. And I'm so glad that I learned that, because I think that if I hadn't, it would have substantially diminished what I believed about myself and the power of running. For running to be a transformative experience, it has to be just as good for the person who weighs 70 kilos as for the person who weighs 120 kilos. For it to be universal like that, it has to be inclusive like that. It's something that I learned because I started where I did and I didn't have any other option, and it was easy to feel like an outsider in the beginning when I was just sort of running around where I lived and that kind of thing, because I didn't look like anyone else. I didn't look like anyone at the gym. I didn't look like anyone who I saw walking or running. And then the marathon festival for the half marathon, and all of a sudden I saw all of these people who looked like me, and it completely blew me away and cemented this idea that it was for everyone and it was for me too. Changing how you think about it and how you talk about it does take time, and I don't think anything like that happens overnight, and I think anyone can get sort of like caught in, you know, like an old habit with something like that. But it can also, you can also just start with really small things. Like say, for example, last week a couple of things happened that in the past I might have talked to myself about in a different way. So I started feeling like I was getting a cold. And in the past I would be like, oh, you know, like such a pain. And, you know, like, why is my body always getting sick? And, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is so frustrating and annoying. And, you know, then, like, I'd end up not being able to go to the gym or go for a run for a week, which are things that I love. And it would feel like just this grand annoyance. But at the beginning of the year, I kind of looked at where I was with, and it wasn't major sicknesses, it's just colds and just annoying and just hang on. And it's one of the downsides of running, is that after you do like a long run or a high intensity run, your immune system has a temporary dip. And in that temporary dip, you can easily take on a bug or two, especially if you happen to be around kids and they're just general germ fests at the best of times. So I looked at that and looked at ways that I could improve my immune system so that it will be less knocked around by those things. And I've talked a bit about it before, what I did, which was I started being a whole lot better with my vitamin intake, because I tend to be somewhat of a panic vitamin taker. Like, I'll start to feel a sore throat or feel a runny nose, and all of a sudden it'll be like 1,000 vitamin C's and zinc and vitamin B's and whatever else I thought I might like to throw at it that day. So I got a greens and vitamin powder from Activated Nutrients just to help me have it just be part of a habit, because part of my aversion to taking vitamins on a daily basis was like how many pills I had to swallow. And so having it as a powder, I can just also easily incorporate it into part of my normal routine. So I just chuck it in my first thing of the day, which I'm when I'm having my pre-workout drink or whatever, and then do it at night as part of my nighttime routine. So it's really easy to incorporate it and not forget, because it's just sort of tacking onto those existing routines. And I also got a flu shot because I figured it's not going to hurt me and it might help. And the flu last season had been really awful, so I decided that that would be a good way to go. And I also started doing the cold showers, which I worked up to about 3 minutes of cold shower after my hot shower. I haven't gone to completely like cold shower without the hot shower yet, but I might like work up to it. It's an easy time to be doing it because it's summer and it's so warm anyway. The cold showers don't feel that cold. So the upshot of that is I had heaps better time with not getting sick as often. And when last week I started to feel like I got a bit of a sore throat and something else going on, I was like, that's probably because I have not been great with like the cold showers. And, you know, like maybe I'm just also sort of just accepted that maybe I was a little bit run down after the Pampax, and just looked at, you know, like what can I do to give my body what it needs, which is a very different conversation than "you bastard, don't you dare get sick." And similarly, I had a thing that happened at the gym where my quad just seized up, and it seized up for, it's not the first time this has happened. Sometimes when I'm doing something, a quad will overcompensate in a movement and then it'll seize up and it does not want to let go. It was really painful. It was even hard walking on it. It's like going downstairs, you kind of have to do this real awkward skipping thing. And again, another easy thing to say, I got such a ridiculous body with all of these strength imbalances, all of these problems, and here it is, like my quad is gone and done whatever it's done again, and now I'm stuck with being barely able to move. But now I'm able to approach it a little bit differently and take the lesson from what happened at the gym, so that kind of thing's not going to happen again. And then focus on the body work that clearly need to happen there. And that involved essentially like 3 or 4 days of just being really proactive with my rolling and using lots of different techniques. So eventually, it took about 4 or 5 days, but eventually it released. And don't be at all afraid of flipping things around and actually acknowledging your body for what it is doing. So after all of that drama with my quad, when I was out on a run on the Friday and it didn't actually hurt and it felt pretty good for a change, and I was doing a relatively hard workout because I've got a lot of progression runs at the moment, and I just allowed myself to go, this is really cool, you know, like it did not feel good at all a few days ago, but a little bit of attention and we're able to do everything feels really good. And how resilient is my body that I can handle an 80 kilometer week with having dealt with what I had to deal with? Changing the language has a really big impact, and it won't necessarily feel authentic in the beginning. It will just feel like words. How often might you say to yourself or to your body, oh, my body can't do that, or my body's not built for that, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm not fast enough, or I don't have the mental reserves? And how often is your body listening when you say that? So you really do just have to give yourself something else to listen to and make it good. Thank you for listening. If I don't get another podcast in before Christmas, Merry Christmas and have a great new year. And if you Instagram, I'm on Instagram as @opmove, and the Facebook page is also. Any questions at all about planning an awesome 2019, just message me. I'm always happy to have a chat. Speak to you next time. Bye.